And Steve Price is with us. Very good morning, Steve.
You do need to get a bit of a life, Mike.
Yeah, that's true.
Sitting around watching Australian Parliament, mate, please.
I was listening to Jackie Lambie, though, over the last couple of days. She's extraordinary, isn't she? I mean, is she seen as a crazed person or are people loving her?
Look, that passionate speech was from the heart, although I thought at the beginning of it she was almost going to laugh. But look, Jackie Lambie's unique. She's from Tasmania. She's former military. And she keeps getting re-elected. So the Tasmanians obviously like her. She brings some passion, as you said, to the place. And her and Pauline Hanson don't get on. Indeed, there's been major criticism here today about the fact that the One Nation, other One Nation MP or Senator, Malcolm Roberts, managed to let Jackie Lambie's private mobile phone number get released to the public when he put something up on Facebook. And so poor old Jackie's been copying a whole lot of abuse from people ringing her up on her private mobile phone and giving it to her.
Now, where are we at? George Christensen's won, but ScoMo's got problems in the Senate and the House with this whole mandate thing. So where are we at with that? Is he winning or losing?
Well, he addressed the party room, joint party room yesterday, and he said, look, if we keep going like this, we're going to end up with a Labor government, so you guys have got to get yourself back into some sort of order. But it's not going to happen. The two senators, Alex Antich and Jared Rennick from South Australia, they've teamed up with One Nation. Now, with those people together, so that's four in total in the Senate, they can block any legislation that Scott Morrison wants to get through, and he's got a couple of bills he wants to get through in the final 2 weeks of Parliament. So he's got a major problem on his hands. You mentioned Christensen. He's in the lower house, so he's going to side with the others in the lower house against his own party. So Morrison has a real problem here. I mean, he's trying to stop votes drifting off to One Nation and the Clive Palmer Party over mandated vaccines. So he's trying to tread both sides of the street, and it's come back to bite him. I think he's got a real problem. I think most Australians now who wanted to get vaccinated are. I mean, you've got rates in New South Wales that are heading toward 95%. Victoria's over 90%. So, look, I just think we've got to stop this division over vaccines. Those who wanted to have it have got it. Most have got two doses, and many people are lining up for boosters. So Morrison would be better off just walking away from this whole issue.
See, it's real interesting because we're seeing this all over the world at the moment. You know what happened in Austria. They're mandating vaccines for everybody. We're having a massive scrap over vaccines at the moment. We put some new rules out yesterday and where you work and how you work and who you interface with and whether or not and what the fine is and all that sort of stuff. Where are you at with the idea? See, was it Sydney or New South Wales that once we got to 95%, the unvaccinated could participate? Is that the rule?
Yep, and it'll happen on December 15, maybe even a little earlier. It was made clear by the former Premier, Gladys Berejiklian, and now by Dominic Perrottet, there'll be no exclusion of the unvaccinated once you get to that rate. Go south to Victoria, it's completely the opposite situation, Mike, where they have said, Daniel Andrews in particular has said, he hoped that the restrictions will be released, have a listen to this, sometime in 2022, when most people had had a booster shot.
Wow.
So he is going to exclude unvaccinated people from everything, going to the tennis, for example, a Boxing Day test match, going to a cafe, going to a movie theatre, going to a concert. No one who can't prove their vaccination status will be permitted to enter any of those things, which is completely over the top when you consider the high rate of vaccination in that state.
Well, you should come here and see our light system. I won't explain the light system to you because you'll get a brain aneurysm, but we're basically, as far as I can work out, locked down forever. By the way, if you held a poll on Tim Paine, which side would people fall on?
Tough question. I think most people think that this event that took place a number of years ago, before he was captain, before he was in the test team, and as the Tasmanian Cricket Board said, he should not be put in that position because it was not a breach of the code of conduct. It was a consensual private exchange between two mature adults and was not repeated. Yeah. So I think most people would come down on the side of why was he forced to quit? Why did it come out now? And what exactly, it's something that majority of people would not do. But Tim Paine was not the captain of the Australian cricket team when this happened. And it was a consensual exchange, as the Tasmania Cricket Board said. I think most people have come down on Tim Paine's side, to be honest.
And, of course, they knew when they appointed him of the event.
They did indeed, and they kept it quiet. The media then found out, and the cricket media joined forces and wouldn't report it. It took a non-cricket journalist to report it on the weekend, and that's now cost Paine his job as the skipper. may cost him his job in the side, because there is some debate about whether, yes, he's a good wicket keeper, but he's not a great batsman, and so maybe we should move him on. It's been pretty tough for him.
Just quickly, there's PCR testing if you're in Queensland going anywhere else, and who pays for it. How is it that she gets herself in this level of trauma on an ongoing basis?
Well, she gets bad health advice for a start and then just follows it blindly. I mean, to suggest that a family of four would have to all pay $150 a head to get a PCR test to simply come into the state is ridiculous. I spoke to the mayor of the Tweed Valley earlier in the week. That's on the New South Wales side of that border.
Yeah.
Anyone going in and out of Queensland for education or for work was going to have to do it every 2 days to have a test, and it's going to cost them, you know, $600 or $700 a week. She's now decided that she's going to drop that, and the federal government has said, well, hang on a minute, we pay for half of it anyway, so it will go by the by. But Anastasia Palaszczuk is one of the Labor premiers, along with Daniel Andrews and Mark McGowan, who seem to be trying to cause trouble in the lead-up to the federal election by making ridiculous rules and regulations, hoping that people will back them about keeping them safe. It's just crazy.
Weirdo. Have a good one, mate. See you next week. Appreciate it, as always. Steve Price out of Australia. The only thing, says Greg Hunt, Federal Health Minister, only thing that's changed is that after accepting text confirmation for 18 months and then rejecting it for 24 hours, Queensland's now accepting the same text message. It goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago. It's just sheer luck as to who was running your country or your state or your territory when COVID arrived. And we got unlucky, Victoria got unlucky, Queensland got unlucky, WA got unlucky, New South Wales not so much, maybe Britain you could, you know, toss a coin.